headlines, Hamas says Israel's recent attacks on Gaza will not intimidate Palestinians into retreating and giving up their resistance. At least 29 people are killed after a military plane with 92 personnel on board crashed in southern Philippines. And U.S. officials put a halt to search and rescue operations at the site of a collapsed Miami building. More than 120 people are still unaccounted for. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has condemned the recent Israeli attacks on Gaza. Hamas says the attacks were a desperate attempt by Israeli regime to regain its space lost during the Palestinian retaliatory strikes. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed the issue with our guests. And now to this edition of the News Review. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says that the Israeli regime's recent attacks on Gaza were a desperate attempt to regain its face lost during the Palestinians' retaliatory strikes. Hamas spokesman Hassan Qassem said Tel Aviv was in fact seeking to stop efforts aimed at restoring Palestinians' rights. He noted that the Israeli attack were aimed at changing the equations in his favor, adding that such attempts will fail too. He underlined that the resistance front would press ahead with its struggles to ensure the rights of Palestinians and secure them a life with dignity in the face of Israeli atrocities. The spokesman underscored Tel Aviv's moves will not intimidate Palestinians into retreating and giving up their resistance. Now to discuss that further, we're joined by our correspondent in Gaza, Ashraf Shannon, and also Amit Knapier, Scottish and Palestinian Solidarity Campaign from Edinburgh. Thank you very much to both of you gentlemen. Let's begin with Ashraf. If you could please tell us, Ashraf, exactly what this message from Hamas means and who exactly is he addressing?
This message from Hamas only means that the Palestinians are standing on solid ground, and that they are positive about defending the Palestinian people and defending their rights. It also shows that the Israeli regime, it shows the weakness of the Israeli regime, especially that during recent Israeli aggression in May, Palestinian resistance groups fired more than 4,000 projectiles towards the Israeli regime, and Tel Aviv desperately seek a truce, although Tel Aviv keeps violating the truce. For example, last night they attacked two sites that belong to Hamas's military wing, the Zin Qassam Brigades, and 36 hours earlier, they also attacked several Hamas security posts. Basically, Hamas's message means that that the resistance groups will not be intimidated by the Israeli regime, and that the resistance groups are the ones who decide when to attack or when to launch rockets towards the Israeli regime. Tel Aviv is trying to cause reactions by the Palestinian resistance factions, but this has not been successful.
Thank you very much. Let's bring in Mr. Knapier. Now, Mr. Knapier, Israel definitely was not expecting the type of retaliatory attacks that it saw during the war. Why do you think it is triggering more tensions in that region?
It destabilizes the normality, which is that Israeli violence can intimidate Palestinians and also their neighbors. I mean, remember, this was an intervention from Gaza using rockets after Israel had launched extremist gangs across 48 Israel to attack Palestinians, had threatened the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And a recent opinion poll by the most prominent Palestinian pollster shows that 94%, if my memory serves me right, of Palestinians were proud of what had happened, that Israel had been wrong-footed. And neither Israel nor its backers in the West expected the fierceness of the Palestinian response. And they know that this has been a game-changer. You know, national unity is never a given. It always has to be achieved, and sometimes it slips away. But during the recent Israeli attacks on Gaza, on 48, on the West Bank, on East Jerusalem, and so on, national unity took a huge step forward for the Palestinians. They acted as a single nation facing the Zionist project to divide them from each other and then to dispossess them of the entire land surface of Palestine. That's well understood now. And also in the West, I have to say, more people know what's going on because of Palestinian resistance than was the case in the past. Look, this is what specialists, and I'm not one of them, call asymmetrical warfare. There's no way the Palestinians can challenge nuclear-armed, massively financed and armed Israel. But, you know, the people who win in an anti-colonial struggle, and this is true in Asia, Africa, the Middle East as well, are not those who can kill the most. That's Israel. It's those people, it's a people who can absorb this terrible violence, this terrible cost that they pay, and keep resisting. And this defiance from Gaza surely represents, we know it represents, the feelings of the entire Palestinian people. And that suggests that Israel lost. I mean, staff colleges now are discussing who won the latest exchange. The fact that they have to discuss it tells you that it's not massively armed Israel which won it. It's the Palestinians who won. And Hamas has a claim, has a strong case to say. They emerged victorious. They defended the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Who else did? And that has raised their profile among Palestinians. Look, now we see the inspiration not just into the Palestinian people, but we see docks in California, dock workers in California, in Canada, in Scandinavia, in Italy, turning away Israeli ships. And this is the kind of solidarity action which the Palestinians, through their resistance, have been able to engender. It's a remarkable victory for the Palestinians. It's bought at terrible cost. But you know, every anti-colonial struggle, it's always, freedom is always won. There's no way around it. Because of the nature of the violence of colonialism, it's always achieved at a very, very high cost. But I think many people looking at the recent situation, the recent exchange, would say the Palestinians did not emerge defeated. And now Israel is doing what Israel always does. It has to assert that its terrorism is unchallengeable. That's what they're trying to do now.
Thank you very much, Mr. McNapier. Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign, live from Edinburgh, and our correspondent Ashraf Shannon, live from Gaza City. And that brings us to the end of this edition of the News Review. Moving on, military plane carrying troops has crashed in the southern Philippines, killing at least 29 people. Defense officials say the C-130 military transport aircraft with 92 people on board went down while trying to land on Jolo Island in Sulu Province. The aircraft flying from the southern city of Cagayan de Oro burst into flames when it missed the runway. 50 people have been rescued from the burning wreckage and hospitalized, and 17 others remain missing. Many of those on board were soldiers recently graduated from basic combat training. They were being deployed to the Resif Island as part of a joint task force fighting terrorism. Meanwhile, rescue operations are underway in Japan after heavy rains triggered a massive landslide in a village in Shizuoka Prefecture, killing two people. Some 1,000 rescuers, including military personnel, are involved in the rescue operation focused on finding 20 people. Those who went missing are in the city of Atami. Torrents of mud crashed through parts of the town on Saturday morning following days of heavy rains. Prime Minister Yoshida Suga said at an emergency meeting that up to 130 houses and buildings have been damaged. Survivors have taken refuge in an evacuation center near the village. This comes after locals were put on alert as more rains lashed the area. Floods are common in Japan's rainy season. U.S. officials have put halt to search and rescue operations at the site of a collapsed Miami building ahead of a planned demolition and possible arrival of tropical storm.
Search and rescue does have to pause temporarily while the demolition preparation is underway, and that there is threat to the standing building that is posed to the first responders, as we've told you. So preparation includes activities like drilling into columns in the unsafe structure.
Kavanaugh noted that 121 people are still unaccounted for. The death toll remains at 24. The mayor said that she signed an order calling for the immediate demolition of the building that could happen anytime on Sunday. She added that the families of the victims have been informed about the decision. Almost half of the 12-story building abruptly collapsed early in the morning on June 24th when many residents were still asleep. The cause of this incident has not been determined yet. Initial attention has been focused on the structural deficiencies described in a 2018 engineering report. Russia says a recent violation of its borders by a British Navy destroyer is a kind of provocation that will receive a tough response. The Kremlin says the breach of its territorial integrity was deliberate and pre-planned. Russia has summoned the British ambassador in Moscow over the incident. Tensions between Moscow and London soared last month. That is when Russia accused HMS Defensor of illegally entering its waters in the Black Sea off the coast of Crimea. Russia said that it had chased the British destroyer out of the waters with warning shots and bombs, an account that London has rejected. Britain, however, has confirmed that its warship had sailed through what it described as Ukrainian waters. And a shock win has been recorded for Britain's Labour Party in a by-election. Labour was pitted to lose this key seat as many Muslims in the area have become deeply angered at the partly over-perceived Islamophobia and anti-Palestine crackdowns and a policy U-turn on the Kashmir issue. Robert Carter reports.
I do hereby declare that Kim Michelle Leadbeater is duly elected.
The UK Labour Party secured a narrow win in the key by-election constituency of Batley and Spen in northern England. The results announced early Friday morning shocked many as Labour was tipped to lose the seat to either the ruling Conservatives or Workers' Party GB candidate George Galloway.
The battle for Batley appears to have left a bitter taste after accusations of racism, harassment and even dirty tricks has circled the headlines over the past couple of weeks, with Batley's Muslim community also apparently playing a key role after turning their backs on the Labour Party over perceived policy injustices regarding Palestine and Kashmir.
Amid accusations of poster vandalism by Labour activists, Mr. Galloway vowed legal action.
We have been multiply defamed to the point that I'm no longer prepared to talk with the mainstream media, which is why I'm talking to you now by this live stream. The whole election campaign was dominated by lazy and false tropes about our campaign, about the thousands of people that voted for us, about their motives for doing so, in a way which defamed them as much as it defamed me.
Despite Labour's win, experts claim Muslims still sent a strong message by removing their traditional loyal support.
So Muslims, this is an opportunity to build alliances with the voiceless in our wider communities. And for those who are outside of the Muslim community, look at us as your allies. We want to flex our political muscles, and we are happy to do so alongside you, inshallah.
Despite Labour's win, British Muslims remain deeply frustrated. This aspect could affect future votes unless the party changes its policy towards Muslims dramatically. Robert Carter, London.
Iran has announced 165 new daily deaths from COVID-19 as the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant has raised fears of another devastating surge. The latest figure brings to nearly 85,000 the number of total COVID deaths in Iran. The country has also registered over 13,700 new cases in the past 24 hours. On Sunday, the government said restrictions will be tightened to slow the spread of the highly transmissible Delta variant. A nighttime traffic ban, that is, between cities remains in place, and non-essential businesses will be closed in most cities, including the capital, Tehran. Also, all public parks, restaurants and malls, bookstores will be closed in areas with high infection rates. So far, over 3.2 million Iranians have got COVID. China has called for global cooperation in the face of major risks and challenges while criticizing isolationism and unilateralism.
We must stand against the practices inciting antagonism and divisions and clear up the barriers to international peace and security. Zero-sum game is a Cold War mentality and goes against the common aspiration of all countries to seek peace, development, and cooperation.
Wang made the comments in a keynote speech at a peace forum in the capital, Beijing. He reminded the world that the UN is still the most authoritative and valid of all multilateral organizations when it comes to coordinating international security efforts and safeguarding global peace. The Chinese foreign minister called on the international community to work together to cope with imminent global challenges and advance political solutions to global hotspot issues. He also urged world countries to oppose any dangerous moves that artificially creates divisions and confrontations. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is talking the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 4th, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special, as you know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Well, dear listeners, if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please remember, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. What Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very important and useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service, to provide a high-quality service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving, these days, of course, an EQSL card from us. So, let me read the names of those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports. Arontio from the Philippines. Arontio from the Philippines is one of our regular listeners who has sent us a reception report. Preeti Singh from India has sent us a reception report. Also, Stefan Krona from Sweden, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a reception report. So, Arontio and Preeti Singh and Stefan Krona, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here I send my appreciations to you for sending us these reception reports. Also, of course, we have received so many emails and letters from around the world, which here I send my appreciations and gratitudes to them. And I read their names. From India, we have an email from KM Raju Club. From Pakistan, we have an email from Abed Hussein Sajad. We have an email from him. Well, from the UK, we have an email from Alan Rowe. And, of course, the last but not the least is an email from Japan. This email is from Toshio Shibata Kamata. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters from around the world. So after a short break, I will be back with all these kind emails and letters. Please keep us company. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here I'm back with all your kind emails and letters from around the world. And we start with an email from India. This email is from KM Raju Club. KM Raju from India says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I listen to IRIB English Radio programs quite regularly. All of the programs are useful, like weekly listeners special. All brothers and sisters working at English Radio, all listeners and everybody, thank you and God bless you. Would it be possible for you to send our club members your frequencies? Thank you once again." And also, thank you, KM Raju from India. We are so happy for your compliments. Thank you very much for reflecting your views about IRIB English Radio, as you describe its programs as useful, like, of course, listeners special. KM Raju, please send our regards and greetings to your club members, KM Raju Club, as you described it. Of course, about regarding your request about sending the frequencies, IRIB English Radio frequencies are available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And my colleagues at IRIB English Radio will soon send you EQSL cards for this letter. Thank you very much, KM Raju, again, for sending us this, of course, email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please, again, tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which programs you like the best. Well, from Pakistan, we have an email from Abed Hussein Sajad. Abed Hussein Sajad from Pakistan is one of our regular listeners who says, Dear IRB English Radio staff, Assalamu alaikum. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, educational institutions are pending, and that's why we're staying at home most of the time. Therefore, I have not much work to do but listening to the radio and sending reception report to my favorite radio stations. I am also sending you my reception report. Please send me QSL card and other things. First of all, Salam and warmest greetings to you, Abed Hussein Sajid from Pakistan, one of our regular listeners. As you said, due to the coronavirus pandemic, educational institutions, schools, universities, and some workplaces are pending, and that's why people stay at home most of the time and do their job online, yes. So we have more time, as you know, because we don't spend time at traffic and in transportation, so we have time to do our hobbies, like listening to, as you said, your hobby is listening to different radio stations or sending reception reports to your favorite radio stations, and we are so happy that you're there to listen to IRB English Radio and for sending us reception reports. Thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Abed Hussein Sajid from Pakistan, IRB English Radio staff, are happy that you are our listener, you are our old and regular listener, and we'll send you an EQSL card as soon as possible. Abed Hussein Sajid from Pakistan, again, thank you very much for sending us this email. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with us. Welcome back, and from Japan, as I said, we have an email from Toshio Shibata Kamata. sorry if I mispronounce your name, Toshio Shibata Kamata from Japan, but we send you our regards and greetings from Iran, Toshio, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Toshio from Japan says, Dear Sir or Madam at IRB English Radio, I'd like to report on a medium wave broadcast received here in Japan. As you may know, from the recordings I have enclosed to this email, IRB broadcast was distorted, and it was distorted by unmodulated carrier from Japanese stations on the same frequency. I will be very happy to receive a QSL card or EQSL which describes reception on 765 kilohertz. I wish the COVID-19 pandemic will come to an end soon. Also wish the new U.S. administration will stop the unreasonable pressures on the Iranian nation. Best regards from Tokyo, Japan. As I said, salam and warmest greetings to you, Toshio Shibata Kamata from Japan, and many thanks for sending us this email, and we are so happy that you could receive the signals of IRB English Radio in your country, in Japan, and in your region. So you have enclosed the recordings to this email. Thank you very much. We received that, and you said it was distorted. Of course, we reflect this view to our technicians and engineers at IRB English Radio, and we will fix the problem. My colleagues at IRB English Radio will soon send you an EQSL card. As you may know, we used to send our dear listeners around the world the paper QSL cards, but because of the hygienic protocols that was designated after the coronavirus pandemic, we started sending our dear listeners EQSL cards. So we will send it very soon. EQSL card, yes. And also, we like you. wish the COVID-19 pandemic come to an end very soon. And you mentioned that you wish the new U.S. administration stop the unreasonable pressures on the Iranian nation. Of course, we wish that happens, but the Iranian nation is a nation that always changes the threats and challenges into opportunities. Yes, we have a resistant economy, and we have a successful country, and we are proud of our nation. Yes. Anyway, thank you very much, Toshio Shibata Kamata from Japan, for sending us this email. Write to us soon, yes, and tell us your views about our broadcast. From the UK, as I said, we have an email from Alan Rowe. Alan Rowe says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio," or the, as you said, the English section of IRIB Radio. "Thank you very much for the EQSL. It is very kind of you to take the extra time to send out the QSLs in this way. While it is always very nice to receive one of your lovely real paper QSL cards, I'm nevertheless very happy to receive my QSL as an EQSL. I thank you for continuing to broadcast your programs on the short waves. It is good to be able to listen to your programs in our evenings here in Europe. With greeting from an unusually sunny England. We have had some nice weather for the last week, but I am sure that it will not last, and we can expect our traditional rain again very soon. My best wishes from Tennington, UK." Salam and greetings to you, Alan Rowe from the UK, and many thanks for sending us this nice email. Alan Rowe, so you have recently received our EQSL, and as you described, we had the tradition in our radio to send our dear listeners paper QSL cards. I know it's nice. Yes, it's nice. They're nice paper QSL cards. You can't touch it. It's more palpable. But because of the protocols that have been designated, and because of coronavirus pandemic, we have to skip. Of course, we have to stick to these new rules, and they are international rules, and avoid what we can touch. And because of the virus, and we have started. I think it's for 2 months that we have started sending our dear listeners EQSL cards. After this virus and this disease is over, we get back to the track and send our dear listeners around the world those beautiful paper QSL cards, of course. Anyway, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So in your country that used to rain all the time, it's sunny, and it seems that you like that traditional rain again. And you said you like listening to IRIB English radio programs on shortwave. And this is the traditional way that I think almost everyone around the world likes listening to radio on its traditional way, and it's on shortwave. Yes, I do too. Thank you very much again for sending us this email. Alan Rowe from the UK, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with you. Well, dear listeners, wishing you all the best in the world. Here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners, a special this Sunday program, your program. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
The world we live in today was created in fire and blood by Donald Rumsfeld and his think tank Pulse at the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, along with all the Republicans and Democrats complicit in empowering their sordid plans, says William Rivers Pitt, journalist, in an article published under the heading, Rumsfeld was not controversial. He played a leading role in mass murder. Stay tuned for more. When word came down recently that former U.S. Defense Secretary and brazen orchestrator of mass death, Donald Rumsfeld, had shuffled loose the mortal coil at age 88, CNN and the other networks began to do their standard back and fill exercises to shore up the fiction while burying the truth after a genuine monster drops dead. Controversial, they called Rumsfeld, while showing footage of him scurrying around the wreckage after the Pentagon attack on September 11th. "I think that's what we will all remember," said one talking head of those images. "Not if I have anything to say about it." See, on the same day, he was doing no more or less than what any average citizen would likely to do at an emergency scene. Rumsfeld returned to his office and immediately began scheming to use the attacks as a pretense for invading Iraq. Best info fast. Judge whether good enough to hit S.H. Saddam Hussein same time. Not only UBL, Osama bin Laden. Read the notes by an aide taken that day. Go massive. Sweep it all up. Things related and not, unquote. Later and 9 months before the war, intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy of that invasion, as was explained in the Downing Street memo and through the testimony of actual patriots like Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kaikowski, who watched Under Secretary for Policy Douglas Faith and his George W. Bush cronies concoct fraudulent evidence for that war in the Office of Special Plans. The world we live in today was created in fire and blood by Donald Rumsfeld and his think tank Pulse at the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, along with all the Republicans and Democrats complicit in empowering their sordid plans. Having been gifted a 9/11, the new Pearl Harbor extolled in rebuilding America's defenses, the PNAC plan for military domination of the West Asia region, powerful PNAC men like Rumsfeld and Vice President Dick Cheney proceeded to throw a generation of Americans and Iraqis into a meat grinder that is still turning out bodies some 18 years later. They did this to win elections. The crew power and the war profits were in the trillions. Rumsfeld and his people did not operate in a vacuum, of course. To this day, the ranks of congressional Democrats and Republicans still contain those who voted to initiate and fuel this ongoing calamity. One of them, former Senator Hillary Clinton, lost the 2016 presidential election to Donald Trump, in no small part because of her record on Iraq. Another enabler, Joe Biden, who falsely claimed to have opposed the war almost immediately after he voted to approve it, is now president of the United States despite his record on Iraq. Rumsfeld's tactic of choice is grasping for war, fear. Every day since September of 2002, we heard from Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Fleischer, Rice, Power, and several times from George W. Bush and Dick Cheney that Iraq's weapons program represented an immediate and severe danger to the American people. The shadow of September 11th loomed long and dark over these statements, and the approval ratings for combat indicated that Americans were willing to believe these Bush administration claims rather than accept even the most remote possibility that Iraqi weapons could be used on the home front. plastic sheeting and duct tape, remember? Because Rumsfeld & Co. said Iraq was in possession of 26,000 liters of anthrax, 38,000 liters of botulinum toxin, 500 tons of sarin, mustard and VX gas, mobile biological weapons labs, and uranium from Niger for use in a robust nuclear weapons programs, and that Iraq enjoyed connections to Al-Qaeda that led directly to the attacks of September 11th. We know where we are, Rumsfeld said of the fictitious weapons of mass destruction, WMD, on March 30, 2003. They are in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat. In a 2011 memoir titled Known and Unknown, Rumsfeld expressed regret for claiming to know where the WMD were, but insisted the toppling of Saddam Hussein was worth the price. Of course, he did. He didn't pay it at all. Properly detailed obituary of Donald Rumsfeld could run longer than a Gore Vidal novel. For the obit to be complete, it would have to include the mainstream of torture by the willing hand of Secretary of Defense. We are awash in photographs of Iraqi men, not terrorists, just people, lying in heaps on cold floors with leashes around their necks. We are awash in photographs of men claimed so remorselessly that their backs are arched in agony. Men who are forced to satisfy cameras. Men forced to pretend to have sex with one another for cameras. Men forced to endure attacks from dogs. Men with electrodes attached to them as they stand hooded in fear of their lives. Flash forward to February of 2016, and we had then presidential candidate Donald Trump proudly declaring, I would bring back waterboarding, and I would bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding. His crowds went wild every time they heard this. By 2018, Mike Pompeo was promoted to Secretary of State, and Gina Haspel took his place as head of the CIA. She was not just another pro-war shouter back in D.C. Haspel was in it up to her throat. For a time, she ran one of the black sites, this one located in Thailand, and was so proud of her work that she destroyed the tapes of her interrogations. For this, she was neither fired nor prosecuted, and pending confirmation will be in charge of one of the largest intelligence organizations in the world. Before Congress, Rumsfeld took full responsibility for the atrocities at Abu Ghraib and other sites. Eventually, he was fired for his gross incompetence and is now remembered by most as the worst defense secretary in the United States history. His boss, George W. Bush, spends his days painting portraits of soldiers he sent to slaughter, while Dick Cheney likely lingers in a hyperbolic chamber somewhere, drinking children's tears from a crystal goblet. None of them have experienced a nanosecond of consequences for what they did, all of which was done deliberately and with intent. Aided and abetted by active complicity from both parties, Donald Rumsfeld and his PNAC ilk are in the national bloodstream, poisoning Americans from the inside out. Although they hardly acted alone, they played key roles in fueling imperialism and militarism that characterized the United States. Trump was only one element of the consequences their actions brought upon Americans and the world. the TV people can call Rumsfeld controversial as they please. Many of them are complicit in supercharging his lies into the national zeitgeist. So it's little wonder they are disinterested in the truth. But what we all see is another war criminal who got away with mass murder, torture, and grand theft. His war was a smash-and-grab robber writ large, and we will likely never fully recover from it. Neither will Iraq. Rest in pieces, Mr. Secretary. May we never see you like again. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM. 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Another one of the important teachings that we have is the love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his immaculate family. And the salawat and the salutations that we are ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that I also send these salutations. Obviously the salutations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our salutations are obviously not on the same level. And they're not obviously don't mean the same thing. But inshallah that's for another time. So this salawat and the salutations that we send upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, and then we add wa'ajjal farajahum at the end in order for the hastening of the reappearance of our Imam, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, is something that all Muslims accept. It is something that all Muslims have to recite in their prayer. That is the five daily prayers that we do. But it's also something extremely important about it. It is a particular dua. It is a particular supplication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, you know, doesn't have, you know, the word, you know, difficult to put it in. That is a supplication that can never be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? It is something that He Himself Jalla Jalaluhu does. And it is something He has ordered. And it is also regarding His most beloved. So what else is anything better than this? So in this tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Imam says that a supplication or a dua, when we pray and we raise our hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this supplication remains covered. It is something that in the so-called realm of creation, that the supplication will not have that effect until that person who is supplicating, the supplicant, sends blessings on Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. Until that person raises his hands and says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadi wa ali Muhammad, that dua will not reach its target. It will be fluttering. It will be confined. It needs to go, but it does not have that ability to go for. You have basically cut its wings by not reciting the salawat. More importantly, my dear brothers and sisters, it is this supplication which is the most important supplication. That if we are able to truly understand the depths of the meaning that is contained in the salawat, that this particular one small phrase of Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, how much it contains and how much it is, you know, valuable to me. It is the best of supplications. We don't need any other supplication. But unfortunately, we do not understand the reality of this one small phrase. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.